Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and my guest today is Dr. David Shulkin, Undersecretary for Health at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Also joining us from IBM is Mark Newsom. So, as we talked about it, VHA embodies the promise of VA in the form of the quality of care it provides. Although the covenant with veterans is immutable, healthcare evolves, and so must VHA. To that end, would you highlight your strategic vision for VHA, and what are some of your key strategic priorities?
I think that there's a series of imperatives that we fix in VA, like making sure that there's appropriate access for healthcare. But when we start talking about strategy, I think that it's a little bit different. One of the most frequent questions I get is, why do we need a VA healthcare system? Why not just voucher it out? You know, why not let the private sector take care of veterans? And I have to tell you, I came into the VA, being from the private sector, very much with a with an open mind on that question. I didn't come in with a perspective or a bias. But after I began to understand what the VA healthcare system does and began to practice in the VA healthcare system and seeing the types of veterans that we take care of, I clearly believe that it is imperative that we keep a VA healthcare system. And the reason for that is that the model of VA healthcare is not just taking care of physical needs of patients. It is a very complex, holistic approach towards healthcare that includes not only the physical aspects, but the social aspects, the psychological aspects, the economic aspects of healthcare. So if a veteran comes in and they don't have a home, they're homeless, it's very hard to provide good healthcare and good well-being for a veteran. So we provide ways for veterans to find homes and to get them housed. If veterans come in and they don't have clothing or jobs or medication or they need caregivers to help them in their homes, these are all ways that VA defines the way that it delivers healthcare and meets veteran well-being. And so the model of healthcare is very different. And I think that's one of the reasons why VA meets the needs of veterans and wouldn't be as easily fit into a private sector model. But there is a role for the private sector in providing care to veterans because VA shouldn't be doing everything in every situation for veterans. So I use the example of maternity and women's health care. Our fastest growing segment of veterans are women. And now with the Department of Defense decision to say that women can serve in every role, including combat, we're going to see more women with more severe injuries. And so when a woman gets pregnant, I don't believe the VA healthcare system should be developing maternity floors and neonatal intensive care units. I believe those services exist well and are done extremely well in the private sector. So VA has to find a way to begin to start seamlessly working with community healthcare providers. And where we can't provide the services because our waits are too long, we need to work with the community providers as well. So my strategic view is we need to develop what I'm calling a high-performance network, selecting those community providers with the very best outcomes as our pure way of selecting our providers. And therefore, we can assure that veterans are going to get the very highest healthcare quality that the country can provide, whether it's in VA or outside VA.
So, you know, as a follow-up, what persistent internal challenges and maybe external pressures have you faced that has shaped and informed your strategic vision? And more importantly, what are the guiding principles that are supporting your efforts to transform VHA?
Well, one of the ways that I collect information about how to make the right strategic decisions is by actually listening to our veterans. And we are very fortunate in that we have organized groups of veterans. Many of them belong to what we call veteran services organizations. People know them as the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign War, Vietnam Veterans of America, Paralyzed Veterans of America, for example, where we are in regular contact with them and the veterans that they serve about whether we are addressing their needs and whether our ideas are good ones to pursue. And so the underlying concept on how we're making these changes is really to be veteran-centric, not government-centric, not healthcare-centric, but veteran-centric. And to drive an organization that is meeting their needs is really what we've launched an initiative called My VA, because we want every veteran to feel this is their VA. And in order for us to be able to meet their needs, we have to be listening to them.
You mentioned MyVA, and Secretary McDonnell has launched that initiative as a way to transform the VA into a high-performing organization. Can you tell us more about this effort and its key objectives? How does it align with the efforts outlined in your Blueprint for Excellence?
Well, the secretary comes from a background of the private sector as well. He was the chairman and CEO of Procter & Gamble, and he knows that you can't have a high-performing organization if it isn't listening to its customers and being customer-centric. And so what the secretary brought to us was this type of perspective and created an office called the Veterans Experience Office and created leadership commitment to addressing veterans' needs. Clearly, the VA wouldn't have gotten into the trouble it was getting into if it really had been listening to its customers and being veteran-centric. VHA, or the Health Administration, has developed its own set of priorities that interfaces very closely with the VHA to address the five priorities that I've already listed. And so what you have is a confluence of the Health Administrator's priorities interfaced with the MyVA priorities to create a veteran-centric atmosphere or environment. And you have leadership commitment at the secretary's level and at my level that really is driving the organization towards that type of cultural transformation.
And does that, just as a follow-on, does that high-performing organization concept include both VA and the network as well in your Blueprint for Excellence?
Yes. The Veterans Administration actually has three administrations. The Health Administration that I run, there is a Benefits Administration where people get financial benefits if they're disabled or require other types of benefits. And then there's the National Cemeteries. And VA has traditionally operated in a very siloed environment. Under the Secretary's leadership in the MyVA initiative, we are looking at this more as a integrated enterprise because that's the way the veterans look at the VA.
Certainly. Let's talk Commission on Care for a second. Congress established a Commission on Care, charging it to examine veterans' access to VA health care and to examine strategically how best to organize the VA, locate health resources, and deliver health to veterans during the next 20 years. Can you tell us more about this effort, what you've learned from the insights on the Commission's final report, what recommendations are being pursued?
Yeah, the Commission on Care was set up by Congress and the President to provide recommendations on where the VA healthcare system should go in the future. It was actually composed of a number of leading healthcare executives and composed of people who understand the VA organization. And it focused specifically on the healthcare mission of the organization. It was a very well-debated commission in that you heard all sorts of perspectives, people who felt that maybe the VA should be vouchered out and people that felt that that was the wrong decision. In the end, the commission reached a consensus and it said that the VA healthcare organization is absolutely necessary for veterans and for America, that the VA system needed to be kept intact and strong, but that the VA needed to make some transformational changes in the way that it operates. And it gave 18 recommendations. 15 of those 18, the VA feels are absolutely the correct recommendations and actually have already begun initiatives and efforts to undertake them. Some of them are longer term and will take a while to accomplish, but we are absolutely supportive of these recommendations and think that the commission did a very good job of defining what's going to be required for the success of the VA. Three of the recommendations we did not agree with, and our response actually was the president's response. So I should probably say it correctly that the president did not agree with it, and the VA is advocating for the 15 that we think are the right things, and the three that aren't, we're giving our reasons why we think that they're not.
You mentioned absolutely essentiality, and without a doubt, there's perhaps no agency of the federal government with a more noble mission than the VA. What are you doing to promote a positive culture of service throughout the enterprise?
Well, we're doing a lot of things. And as I said, we already have a workforce that is a very committed workforce to this mission. So this is not something that we have to rebuild. It's something that we have to reinforce and, frankly, is motivating when we do reinforce that for those who have chosen to come to the VA. We're doing a number of things. The most important of which is that under the Secretary's leadership, we've launched a program called Leaders Developing Leaders. This is where we're taking our leadership offsite, spending the time personally with them, that is the Secretary, the Deputy Secretary, myself, and other leaders, personally training these top leaders and recommitting to the mission, and then having them cascade this leadership training down to the people who work in their organizations. We've now trained over 90,000 people in our organization with a commitment to value-based leadership and principle-based leadership. Traditionally, the VA, like many government organizations, has been rules-based. And we don't believe that there are many high-performing organizations that are rules-based. High-performing organizations tend to have principles and values and adhere to that and allow their leaders to lead in the way that supports those principles and values. And that's what we're putting in place and training people in that way of managing.
So actually, Doctor, I was wondering, just to pick up on that with the leadership effort there, what else are you doing to improve staff and employee morale?
Number one is we're trying to listen to our employees. I try to do this physically as much as I can. I got back late last night from a trip to Phoenix where I spent every time I make a visit, I do a town hall forum where I try to hear from employees, hear from union leaders, hear from veteran services organizations, congressional members. So trying to do as much listening as we can. But with an organization as big as this, with 320,000 people, I can't physically visit them all. So we've established what I call the Facebook of VA. We happen to call it VA Pulse, where it's an open forum for people to be able to share their ideas, not only with me, but with one another, to be able to get some of that active listening going on and sharing of ideas. I have been doing virtual town halls. My last town hall, which I did from one of our VAs, this one in Baltimore, is simulcast to every VA in our country, and we take active questions from the field. We had over 10,000 sites listening, hopefully multiple people at each site. So we're trying to reach as many people as we can and be able to have the communication be bidirectional. So communication, listening is certainly part of it. But we're beginning to take these ideas and actually implement them. So listening to our clinicians, one of the things that they've said to us is that the electronic medical record has too many alerts on it. They're spending so much time answering alerts that they're not spending time with their veterans in the amount of time that they want. So we're looking at that, and we're giving clinicians now more options to select which alerts are helpful to them and deselect which ones aren't. So making the changes to make it a better environment, I think, is ultimately the proof in the pudding, whether you're really listening or not.
Yeah, and part of that is the management and business processes that you're engaging in. So what is being done to increase operational effectiveness and accountability?
We are primarily investing in the training of our leaders. When you can't find strong and competent leaders to run your organizations, I don't think you have much of a hope of putting into effect effective systems and effective accountability. So we have been really focused on getting our empty leadership positions open. Since I've been here, I have filled 55 medical center director positions. That's a little bit more than one a week. I still have 32 openings of my medical centers without permanent leadership in place. And without filling 32 of my major medical center positions, I'm not able to assure the success of these initiatives. So I really am primarily focused on finding the right leaders, making sure they understand the values of the organization, the objectives of the organization, and then for me to help support those leaders in accomplishing their goals.
So I really like to talk to you about, you know, VA is better positioned than any other healthcare system to sort of adopt or realize a contemporary approach to health services. So how is VHA promoting a transformation from a model of providing, say, sick care to a real health and care model?
Well, prior to coming to VA, I was involved in developing and launching an accountable care organization, one of actually the largest in the country. When I came to VA, what I realized is it is the largest accountable care organization in the country. It actually has a commitment once you leave the service till the rest of your life. And actually beyond that, that's why we have a National Cemetery Service. And so we have everything that it requires to be able to provide the full scope of services that population-based health organizations and accountable care organizations do. And of course, a large focus of that is to do prevention and to provide what I've described before as this holistic approach towards healthcare, that many of the determinants of well-being and health relate not only to what we call physical health, but the economic and social and psychological health. And so we are really focused heavily and have been for some time on prevention, on team-based approaches to care, on home health care, on caregiver support, on many of the things that you're not seeing as well distributed in the private sector because they don't have the same financial incentives that we do. Our only financial incentive is to do what's right for veterans, and that allows us a lot more freedom to develop what I do believe is really gold standard of population health, and that occurs today in the VA healthcare system.
What is VHA doing to improve its organizational performance? We will ask Dr. David Shulkin, Undersecretary for Health at VA, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.